The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hi, this is Kevin McCullough. Thanks for listening to the Christian Outlook podcast, where we cover today's issues from a perspective that honors your Christian faith. Our podcast is brought to you through a partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy and ADF, Alliance Defending Freedom. Here's another piece I trust you'll enjoy.
If you would have asked evangelical Christians in the 1950s how they felt about Plato, if they had read Aristotle, Dante's Divine Comedy affected their understanding of the world or their understanding of God or their understanding of discourse, whatever it is, they would say, well, I would guess, since I wasn't there, but I would guess they would say it has no bearing. It is absolutely no. I mean, we're...
Because it wasn't a Christian text?
Right. We're committed to the Christian text. We're committed to our knowledge of the Gospels. We're committed to especially the Reformed saints, and I use that in quotation marks, the great, you know, fathers of the faith, and anything beyond that, we don't have any purpose in. Now, things have changed since then. I would say, like, from maybe the halfway through the 1960s, there's been a change. But, you know, two things, well, more than two things, but two things I can think of right now really impacted me in my love of all kinds of learning and caused me to open up my eyes to all sorts of different types of worldly learning, you know, Greek classics or English literature or whatever it is. One of them was being involved in the Coalition for Christian Outreach when I was in college, because they were the ones that encouraged me to open up my head and to recognize that it's a big world and that all truth is God's truth. I shouldn't be afraid of something because it's not a Christian book. That was the first thing. The second thing was reading C.S. Lewis, the older I got. And then I have to say that a book by our next guest really helped me along the way. Lewis Marcos is with us today, and he's the author of a book I read. It was the very first book I read when I got this job here at the station, called From Achilles to Christ. I really appreciated that book. I'm thrilled to talk to him today. Lewis Marcos is professor in English and scholar in residence at Houston Baptist University, and he holds the Robert H. Ray Chair in Humanities. He's the author of 19 books, including the one I just mentioned, From Achilles to Christ, Why Christians Should Read the Pagan Classics. Lewis Marcos, welcome in.
Thanks so much for having me, and you're calling me on a great day, because just today I signed a contract with InterVarsity Press for a book called From Plato to Christ, sequel to From Achilles to Christ. Seriously. Seriously.
It's perfect timing.
What's happening here is just so beautiful to me. We often call this bringing Athens and Jerusalem together. Mm. Athens means the Greco-Roman tradition, and of course, Jerusalem means the Judeo-Christian, and that we can bring them together here. And where do we bring them together? A place called Mars Hill, right, where Paul spoke, the Areopagus, right, Acts 17. This is where so much excitement is happening, and it's happening amongst the least likely people. Conservative evangelical Christians embracing the classics at the very moment that the so-called Ivy Leagues are throwing them out. God has a sense of humor.
Right. Okay, so Lewis, as Kathy brought you in and she described an imagined scenario, do you think there's truth to that? You know, that there was a time that Christians would, and they would say, no, we don't want to read Plato. Aristotle has no bearing on our lives as people of faith.
They did. And I mean, you know, a lot of times in the very beginning of the Christian homeschooling movement, 50, 60 years ago, a lot of them were called Bible-only people. What do we need outside the Bible to learn? And especially, what can we learn from pre-Christian writers who are pagans, who don't have access to the Bible, who don't know Christ? Can we really learn wisdom from them? Or will we be led astray? And of course, that was linked sometimes to a suspicion of medieval work because it was too Catholic. I mean, Augustine, he's okay, but once you move forward into Dante and Aquinas, maybe this is a little bit so. You know, that kind of circling the wagons. Let's separate yourself from the unbeliever, right? and kind of an Old Testament ethos, if you will. Right. Let's pull out of that, and all we need is the Bible, and let's focus on that. And so, yeah, there was a definite suspicion, and a kind of, we don't need this stuff. Why do we need anything when we've got the Bible? And like you said, you can add in Luther and Calvin and others, but what do we need this classic literature? Won't it lead us astray?
And so there's a fear element.
There is definitely a fear element, a little bit of fear, a little bit of intimidation,
right.
A little bit of why risk confusing our children
right.
when we've got this good Bible curriculum right
yeah,
here.
Yeah, see, that's the part that I think is particularly insidious, at least from my perspective yeah. and experience, is the fact that we hold tightly to the truth of Jesus while at the same time saying, I don't know if it's going to stand up.
Yeah. And part of it goes back. I talk a little bit about this in my article on Christianity Today, that, okay, at the core, of course, of Calvinism, Reformed theology, is the phrase total depravity. But I really think that phrase was really misunderstood for a lot of the 20th century. Hmm. Total depravity means, what it's supposed to mean, is that every part of us has been subjected to the fall. Our body, our soul, our mind, our reason, our imagination. There's no part of us that's, like, perfect. But to many people throughout the 20th, even before in the 19th century, they thought of total depravity as utter depravity. I mean, you can see this, for instance, in a non-Christian writer like Mark Twain. If you read Tom Sawyer and Huck Finn, you get this idea that the Christians have this incredibly dark view of humanity, that we are just complete trash, almost as if we've lost the image of God. But that's not what total depravity means. It just means that we are fallen and depraved. But we are still, you know, let's put it this way. At the theological core of any belief that we can read and learn from the pagan classics goes down to something that is actually in the opening section of Calvin's Institutes. It's also in the opening two chapters of the Calvinist Bible. If you're wondering what the Calvinist Bible is, that's the book of Romans, okay? If you read Romans 1 and 2, and you read the first section of Calvin's Institutes, you will see the key distinction between general revelation and special revelation. General revelation is the way that God speaks to all people, through our conscience, through creation, to a certain extent through our imagination, through our reason. It's the way God speaks to all people. Special revelation is the way he speaks to us directly, through the prophets, through the Old and New Testament, through Christ.
Lewis, now, sorry.
Hey, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Lewis Marcus is with us. The Rise of the Bible Teaching, Plato-Loving Homeschool Elitist. It's the cover story of this month's Christianity Today.
So let's go back to a scriptural basis. You mentioned Paul in Acts 17. So let me read a little bit of this for our listeners who aren't familiar with it, so that we get a foundation for what we're talking about. This is starting in verse 16. While Paul was waiting for them in Athens, he was greatly distressed to see that the city was full of idols. So he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and the God-fearing Greeks, as well as in the marketplace, day by day with those who happened to be there. So help us to flesh that out. What does that mean that Paul was doing? What can that mean for us?
Most of the people he was talking about were Epicureans and Stoics, a lot of them influenced by Plato and other things. And here is Paul. And remember who Paul is. Paul is, of course, Jewish by the law, but he's Greek in terms of culture and education, and he's Roman in terms of citizenship. He's the new man that brings them all together. And here he is in Athens, the first great university town, and he is trying to speak to them and to build bridges. And that's exactly what he does. I mean, literally, he sees a tomb to an unknown God. And in his mind, he says, here's the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the general revelation bridge, right? And so he says to them, I see in all ways you are a very religious people, for you have altars to every God. You even have an altar to an unknown God. And then he speaks the word that I believe the entire ancient world, Greco-Roman world, was waiting to hear. Now, therefore, what you worship in ignorance, I will proclaim to you as known. And he goes on to build a bridge, and he says, look, the Lord God does not dwell in temples made by human hands, for he doesn't need us. At one man, he created all the races of men. He set their time and spaces that they might reach after him and grope after him, though he is not far from any of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As your own pagan poets have said, we are his offspring. Now, a lot of people don't realize that Paul is quoting two pagan poets. One pagan poet said, his name was Epimenides, in him we live and move and have our being. Another one named Aratus said, we are his offspring. Mm. In the original quote, the he is Zeus. But Paul is saying that without knowing it, they are making, you might call it a pagan prophecy,
right,
that will point ahead. And I'm building a bridge and I'm taking you from something that you know that is truthful. I would say, look, the Bible says we see now dimly in a mirror. Maybe the pagans saw very dimly in a dirty mirror, but they saw something. There's general revelation there. And Paul is trying to build the bridge. And that place was called the Areopagus, or if you translate it into Latin, Mars Hill. And that's why there are so many Christian groups now called Mars Hill. They're trying to build bridges, not always with pagans, sometimes with the neo-pagans, right? The new age people, we still use that phrase. They're trying to find a meeting place where we can lead them upward into Christ, mm-hmm, because all truth is God's truth. The way I like to put it quickly, instead of saying Christianity is the only truth, I prefer to say Christianity is the only complete truth, because there are bits and pieces, sure, of truth everywhere, but only in Christ, only in the Bible, do we find truth in its complete form. Wow. But we can take that and lead it up. That's the vision, you know, that's the mission. It's behind my university and so many of these growing classical Christian schools, homeschoolers. We believe that we are stewards of this literature and that we can find Christ in there. Mm-hmm. We got to work hard and we've got to be careful. Thank God we have the Bible and Christ as our guide. We have a touchstone, right? We're not on our own, but we can do it. And I think Christ wants us to. We need to reach out and build bridges. That's why, you know, the Quran is not the Quran except in classical Arabic, as far as real Muslims are concerned. Not for Christians. We need to translate our Bible into every language. We're reaching out. I love those Jesus Film Project folks, reaching out to every culture and leading them upward into Christ.
So, Lewis, talk to us then about homeschoolers, the cover story that you wrote for Christianity Today, and their embrace of the classics, because that was not always the case.
No, it really is. I really do think God has a sense of humor. There's a famous book called How the Irish Saved Civilization by Thomas Cahill, and he showed that most of the pagan Greco-Roman classics were preserved by the least likely people. A bunch of monks in the middle of Ireland preserved this. Well, I say that as we move into a new dark age where we're losing our classics, losing our tradition, God has raised up the least people you would ever imagine. It's like choosing Frodo to bring the ring, and it's the least likely people. And yet I love how God chooses these very conservative Christian homeschoolers and gave them a passion for the, and when I say the classics, I mean Homer, Virgil, Plato, Aristotle, Sophocles, Cicero, gave them a passion. And they, what they started to do is they started to come up with curriculums and take their students through it. And then sometimes you might have one person who was really good at that, maybe an English major, and they would take a group of homeschoolers through it. And now it has morphed into what are usually called university model schools, where if I'm a homeschool dad, my kids are home 3 days a week, but 2 days a week they go to a school and take classes in the classics, in Latin, and sometimes science, other things, and it's a hybrid model. So we're still homeschooling. It's still out of the school, and also it's not super, super expensive because it's just 2 days a week. And that has grown rapidly along with full-time classical Christian schools, like a private school that your kids go to 5 days a week.
So, Lewis, read, study with no fear.
Yeah, that's it. We are teaching them that, you know, we have the measure. We have the touchstone. We have the yardstick. We can read without fear because we can test what we're reading against the full revelation of Christ.
That's Lewis Marcos, professor in English and scholar in residence at Houston Baptist University. He holds the Robert H. Ray Chair in Humanities. He's the author of a terrific book called From Achilles to Christ, Why Christians Should Read the Pagan Classics.
Thanks for listening to Christian Outlook. Our program is coming to you today in partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. It's America's most unique graduate leadership programs offered on Pepperdine's breathtaking campus in Malibu, California. Learn more at publicpolicy.pepperdine.edu. If you enjoy our podcast, take a moment and tell a friend to subscribe today.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.